joy, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. What is this joy? What is this specific joy on this, the resurrection day? Five things. So therefore, briefly, five things. We will find here the joy of worship, the joy of life, the joy of truth, the joy of fellowship, and the joy of freedom. Worship, life, truth, fellowship, and freedom. And that's just a few, because there's much more joy to be had here if we wished to take the time. Do we really understand the joy of Easter worship? It really is easy to lose the real meaning, isn't it, in the chocolate eggs and fluffy bunnies. As someone said to me this week, I'll leave you to work out how fluffy bunnies give birth to chocolate eggs. But that's just the silliness of what is going on in the world at Easter. Let's see the real joy, the real one to worship. The women come, in effect, to worship. They come to give all that they can to their dead Lord. They come, it says here, to look at the tomb, to mourn. They're not expecting, perhaps, to get in because of the guard and the seal. In one of the other Gospels, they ask the question, who will move the stone? Even though they go prepared in the hope that they might provide for their Lord's body that last service, that last act of worship in preparing his body appropriately for the grave. But we don't just see the worship of people. We see also the worship of angels. Worship and service are the same thing. Here comes an angel to serve him. He comes down from heaven to do what is necessary for our Lord. This is a reminder of our Lord's home, his heavenly home. He comes from glory. He is divine. Have not angels been sent on a number of occasions in his life? They ministered to him after the temptation. They sung at his birth. But now they come as messengers and as aids to show his truth. Jesus himself is not here, but the angel is still worshipping him, giving glory to him, showing the truth about him by rolling back that stone so that people can look inside and see that he's not there. Frightening the guards to stone, indeed, so that the ladies do not need to feel any threat from them. As the angel rolls the stone back, creation itself proclaims the worship of its creator. There's an earthquake, this remarkable event. It's so significant that this moment is marked by the earth itself shifting. We've thought about how else creation declares the glory of God, haven't we? The guard's response is also one of worship, although it is the worship of fear, of not understanding, of being disconnected from what's going on. That sometimes is what happens. Those who refuse to understand, those who don't understand, often fear as they feared. But that, in a sense, is worship, because they've come to recognize how awesome this moment is. The guard's response is also worship. Here in this account, then, is the joy of worship. And there's more. We haven't yet touched on the women falling at his feet with joy at the end. We'll come to that in a moment. We'll come to that as we think about the joy of life. The angel is so kind and gracious. The women can see into the empty tomb. And yet he says he is not here. He has risen, gently but firmly, pointing them out of the tomb to the truth, so that they don't stay lost in that moment of, you what? Where? Why? Wonder? Not quite sure. The angel graciously calls them to move on and to deal with what follows. Because you see, normally when you see the end of life, it's death and it's sadness. And if there's no body there to mourn, it's questions, well, where is he? But the angel wants to say, not just he is not here, the body's moved. He has risen. He has come back to life. Come out of the tomb. Come back to the morning. Come back to the daylight. Come and enjoy life, for he is risen. Look at verse 5 and verse 8 and see the transformation on these women. In verse 5, the angel has to say to them, do not be afraid. And the women in verse 8 hurry away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. Because Jesus is alive, and they've been told. The emphasis is on the fact that he was dead and he's now alive. Death is defeated. For the first time in human history, a person has risen from the dead to this immortal state, this new glorious state, this life. Notice how these ladies are when they meet him themselves. The joy of life and the joy of worship come together in verse 9. They fall down at his feet, they clasp his feet, and they worship him. Friend, this is the way to experience the greatest joy in life for any human being. To come down and bow at the feet of your Maker and declare him also to be your Savior. To acknowledge that he has won for you something which is better than this life can ever be. Let's be honest, many of us believe we have a good life. Indeed, many of us have good lives. We don't want for much. But what is on offer here is more than the much you have. What is on offer here is more than the much that you could ever have in this life, for it's life after death. And try as you like, nothing you have now will you take with you. We know that. Look at the Pharaoh's tombs. Why did they put all that stuff in there with them? So as it could take it with them. Where is it? Still there, if it hasn't been had by robbers. They didn't take it with them. And you can't take it with you. But this you can have. Something that goes on after death. Life. Eternal life. With this, your Maker, who would also be your Savior. You've not lived life to the full until you've worshipped your Creator as your Savior, as these ladies do here. The joy of worship, the joy of life, the joy of truth is here too. Look at verse 6. We're told it happens just as he said. Just as he said. We should expect no less if Jesus is the Son of God. It's what he claimed. And I would argue and contend with you, it's what he clearly proved. He said, in 3 days, I will rise again. He said, I must die in this way. I must be handed over to Gentiles. The obvious meaning of that is the Romans. He made many statements about this that would happen. They came true. I think that means you have to ask the question, what will you make of this man? I'm tempted to make all sorts of political references to promises made and broken, even in a few days of rule and reign. I don't think there's anyone who stacks up to promises made and kept like the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you make of this man? When someone sees that prayer in Jesus' name is answered, they begin to say, what is going on? It's one of the reasons we go out, prayer on the streets, and offer to pray for people. It can bring them to a place of great joy as they realize they have met someone who answers prayer. So are we showing our friends how faithful and true the Lord Jesus is? Are we ready to answer questions about him? Perhaps you have questions about him this Easter time. Take up a Bible. Read. Think. Is it true? Come and ask. I would love to spend time with you. I say, I believe the Bible says, on Resurrection Sunday, we particularly see the joy of truth and his word fulfilled. We see another thing here. We've had the joy of worship, the joy of life, the joy of truth. Now the joy of fellowship. The joy of fellowship. In verse 7, the angel sends the ladies and the disciples to Galilee. Why? I think that's just simply to draw everyone together. Draw all of Christ's people together, all his supporters who will have scattered from Jerusalem as they saw everything go wrong. They would have returned to their homes. And the word can now go out. Go to Galilee. You will meet with the Lord Jesus there. And what we find is Paul says that later on, 500 met with him on one occasion. The fellowship is more than just these few meetings, though. In verse 9, it's real fellowship with a real person. Some will say, you will hear it say, if you ever discuss this resurrection with a Muslim friend, that all these appearances are just hallucinations. Jesus was but a spirit. This wasn't a real resurrection. He did not have a body. The Bible says otherwise. And in your discussions, you might tease that out with them. Jesus is very real, very body, right there. He can be touched. Later on, he will eat. Right now, we read, they clasped his feet. It's a very physical thing. It's a humble thing. It's a worship thing. They are touching the lowest part of his body. But they clasped his feet. What we have here on Resurrection Day is the joy of real fellowship. It is because of this that we come together as a fellowship. I've mentioned it already this morning. Why else did so many different people from so many different backgrounds come together like this? We are not united in any other thing. In some cases, we're not united very much at all. We need to work on that. But we're not. We're very different people from very different backgrounds. What keeps us coming back together? The one with a degree or two or three and a job that's so up there, I don't understand it. And the one who left at school at 14, 16 and has just done a working life. I say just, I shouldn't, forgive me. And has done a hard working job all their life. What brings us together and many other differences? It is this risen Lord Jesus and the fellowship he grants to us. The joy of worship, of life, of truth, of fellowship. There is one more this morning. The joy of freedom from fear. The joy of freedom from fear. Look again at verse 9. But also verse 10. They're free to worship. They're free from their fear in verse 8. They're running, they're going, they're doing what they want to do, what they've been asked to do. They meet with Jesus and he says, do not be afraid in verse 10. They didn't run from him as if they'd seen a spirit. The real Jesus, yes, he's scary, but it's an awe scary. It's a wonder scary. He's a joy and inspiration to be with. His speech banishes fear and inspires service. These ladies are the first to know freedom from their fear and to go on into that new life. What is the freedom from? Many people today would say they're free, free to choose this or that, free to be the person they want to be, but is it really freedom? I got to be honest with you, the more stuff I have, the more I have to look after the stuff I have or chuck it away and get other stuff to replace it because I've become dependent on the stuff that I have. I don't find necessarily all the stuff that I have gives me the freedom that it promised when I saw the advert. Perhaps you've seen that TV program, Rich House, Poor House. Isn't that telling us that it's not money that buys happiness? How many times have we seen both families say, yeah, it can help, it can make a difference, but actually I want to be where the people are that matter in my life. This is where home is. So many times we say we've got freedom to choose, freedom to this. Friends, I would argue the world is very confused over what freedom really is. Is the train free when it's on the motorway? Or does the train need the tracks to run straight and true? And is it not then free? Did you see that? Was it last night or the night before? I forget. We had a steam train doing 100 miles an hour again on the tracks of Britain. Why did they ever get rid of them? Let's not go down that line now. But is not the train free to do what it ought to do, to be that wonderful, joyous, amazing thing and fly at 100 miles an hour on the tracks when it's on the tracks? And when it comes off the tracks, what happens? That's not freedom, it's a disaster. Freedom from disaster is what this risen Lord Jesus would offer. Freedom from going our own way, any way, which ends up being the wrong way. Freedom from what the Bible calls sin. The Bible tells us very clearly that sin results in that disaster, but not just a physical one, an eternal one. Eternal separation from God after this life, if we have not chosen for this risen Lord Jesus. But if we do, we have true freedom. Freedom from fear, freedom from disaster, freedom from all problems, because in Him we will have the new life. In Him we have fellowship, truth, worship, joy of all these things. We can serve a risen Saviour and call Him Lord. Or as one of the other old songs says, would you be free from the burden of sin? Well, there's power in the blood. Power in the blood, the death of Jesus, to conquer our sin. Power in His life that we might live again with Him. This is the joy of resurrection. We can have true worship. We can have an eternal life. We can know the truth and it will set us free. We can have a fellowship which is wonderful and freedom from all that would destroy us, all the disasters of life. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died He for me, who called His name. Well, let's stand and sing these words, which ask the question and answer it. Yes, I can have an interest in this. Yes, I can be free and know this joy. For Christ has done the work for me and offers me a future with Him.